Hello, all sentient beings, and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk about all news, comics, and media related to the... On this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode, we are joined by Epic as we review Dreamwave's Transformers Volume 2, Issue 2. The trailer for the new game Transformers Battlegrounds drops, and what happened to the Transformers Beast Wars sequels we never got here in the U.S.? Today is Friday, June 19th, 2020, and this is episode 186 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that won't be taken away with giving somebody a knuckle sandwich. I'm your host Charles, aka Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Jeremy, aka Yakko.
Hey, how's it going?
The amazing Epic.
Hello.
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
What is happening? Let's talk Transformers.
All right. We mentioned this in the main show. I'll just mention it for if you didn't listen to the main transmissions this week. We do have some sad news. We had some deaths of Transformers artists, some of the voice artists, or one voice artist and one writer. So Aber Ganeau, who was the French-Canadian voice of G1 Optimus Prime and the voice of Homer Simpson in The Simpsons for French translations. He passed away. And we also had comics writer Denny O'Neill also passed away. And he, better known for his Batman and other comics work, but also we know him as the man who gave Optimus Prime his name. He also passed away. If you are curious about Denny O'Neill, you can check out Daryl's interview with him from last year at Toronto Comic Con. So he was active right up until the end. So condolences to their families. All right. As always, we start off the show by thanking our Donatrons, those lovely people who continue to support us on Patreon and PayPal. Thank you so much for that. And if you are not already a Donatron and would like to become one, just go to transmissionspodcast.com/support. This month, we've got the, and every month, we've got the Toy Hacks $10 giveaway. That's one perk of becoming a Donatron is that you are automatically entered in that monthly drawing. So that's all you have to do. If you want to be up for that $10 gift code, we'll probably be drawing that next week. If you are not a Donatron, you can still enter the contest by going to by sending an email to contest@transmissionspodcast.com and send in a picture of one of the Transformer toys you would like to get stickered with Toy Hacks labels. So the cutoff for this month, we're going to cut it off at June 21st, the Father's Day, because that's probably going to be the day we record the last podcast of the month that will then where we will pick the winner. So if it gets pushed back, we will let you know. You can also help us out by buying merchandise from our TeePublic store. That is at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. You can also check out our friend of the show, Kay Girl, at her store, teepublic.com/user/superstarK. We've got lots of shirt designs, mask designs, other merchandise, and everything you buy through our link from TeePublic helps us out and gives us a little bit of a commission. Also, last bit of news is Empire of Rust, our Transformers live play RPG podcast run by Mike Ordway, our awesome producer and editor. Episode 26 is coming out this Monday, June 22nd, and this episode is titled Slasher Flick. So Empire of Rust is veering a little bit into horror now with the team being stuck on an abandoned Energon station, and there is a monster stalking them. So check that out, Empire of Rust episode 26. All right, let's start off the show and talk about some comics news. First up, we've got the English translation of the Takara Tomy God Neptune webcomic. This is the manga that was released as a companion to the God Neptune figure that Takara Tomy is releasing, the repaint of the C-Cons for the Beast Wars. I think it was a Beast Wars the Second or Beast Wars Neo, one of those late 90s animated Beast Wars where they appear. God Neptune appeared. And the comics are, these little comics are usually fun, very wacky, and but they're all in Japanese, so now we rely on the fan community to translate them, and this one has been now. So if you are, were curious about the story, you can check it out now. Next up, we've got a retailer incentive, a regular cover, cover B from the regular Transformers series from IDW, and this is... this cover is done by Aline Hertzpalter Baumgartner. So I believe she is, I'm not sure, is a regular fan artist. And this is their, maybe one of their first professional work for Transformers comics, which I think is pretty cool. It's really cool to draw in artists from the community. So, I think that's pretty cool. And this is a cool little image with Megatron and a bunch of Soundwaves cassettes and then the shadow of the Decepticon symbol coming from off of Megatron. It's really cool. And the last bit of news is another cover, and this is from the IDW Transformers My Little Pony crossover miniseries. And this is cover art from Tony Fleeks. And this is another cool image. This is I'm still curious what this crossover is going to be, but this gives you see all the Autobots, you see Megatron there, and then all the ponies look all pretty happy, but at least Megatron looks pretty mad there. It seems like Transformers and My Little Pony don't have a similar tone. So I'm wondering how these are going to be combined. I'm really interested to see what this is going to be. And apparently Sarah Peter Drew O'Shea is going to be doing the artwork on this, even though she said recently she was out of comics. So maybe this was before she, she finished up her comics work. So looking forward to this. All right, well, that's all the comics news, so let's move on to our review.
All right, we have Transformers Generation 1, Volume 2, Number 2 from Dreamwave Comics. This is from back in 2003. This is written by Brad Mick, art by Pat Lee, inks by Rob Armstrong, backgrounds by Edwin Garcia, layout assist by Ferd Poblete, colors by Espen Gruntigern and Alan Wang, letters by Paul Villafuerte, and David Marriott is not the editor. I need to update my templates for the Dreamwave. Oh, there are two covers here. Cover A is a Decepticon cover, and cover B is an Autobot cover, both by Pat Lee. And if you saw Trips to the Store this week, Charles showed off that they are actually a combining cover. So I'm not sure I guess we can pick who, Autobot or Decepticon, who likes what, but I mean, they're done by the same artist in the same style. So Charles, Decepticon or Autobot?
Well, I think I like the Ultra Magnus image better. I like that pose. I like, his expression there. The one thing I will say about this, the combined cover is that we finally, like, this is finally a cover that references something happening in the issue. Mm-hmm. Like normally throughout the entire first volume of Dreamwave, Generation 1 and even the first issue, the covers were more just like a showcase of let's see what bots and cons I can draw, but it doesn't really have any relationship to what's going on in the issue. And this one, it's referencing the issue, like the Autobots are being captured and taken back to Cybertron. They've all got the little, energy cuffs on, and Ultra Magnus is working with the cone heads. So, I'd like that it references what's going on in the issue.
Epic, which one do you like?
Yeah, so normally I'm I'm usually more partial to the Decepticons, but I agree with Charles. I actually find the Ultra Magnus one more interesting. It's just like, I think just having the bright colors up in front on that cover itself make it pop more. And so it just caught my eye, and I just found myself liking that more. And I didn't realize until the trip to the store that they actually were a combined cover. And I think that's a really fun and neat idea and thing they did there with that. So as a whole, I like them combined, you know, but if I had to pick one, I would have to be the Ultra Magnus one.
Cool. Daryl, how about you?
I tend to agree. The Ultra Magnus image is just, it's better, I think. For whatever reason, when I think of this image, and I think it's been like, it's been put back together and made into like a wallpaper for a computer screen. But I always seem to think that the ramjet is holding his a gun as well, but he's clearly not. So I don't know what I'm thinking of. Yeah, the Ultra Magnus with holding the gun there. It's probably the better of the two sides of this image. Yeah, I like it. I think it looks cool.
I have to agree with everyone. I think it tells a better story as a single image with the Ultra Magnus there.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if the way that Ramjet's hand is, I mean, it looks like he would be holding a gun with the way his hand is.
Or snapping his fingers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, let's get into the summary. This is titled War and Peace, Chapter 2, Brother's Burden. It starts with Ramjet failing to get through the defenses at Autobot Base. Ultra Magnus then announces the charges against the Autobots at the Autobots inside the base, and he tells them to surrender. The Autobots are split on what to do, and they argue amongst themselves. Then Optimus silences them while he thinks about his options. On the Cybertronian ship, Shockwave is dealing with Starscream's latest treachery after Megatron was reactivated. Surprisingly, or really not surprisingly, Starscream gets a final chance from Shockwave. The ship lands in Iacon, and the Decepticons on board are amazed that Shockwave was right. He had conquered Cybertron. On Earth, Optimus has resigned himself to surrender. After Blitzwing threatens to destroy a nearby city, Optimus leads the Autobots, except for a few that have snuck away, out to surrender. After they exit, Prime rips off his Autobot badge and throws it at the feet of Magnus. On Cybertron, Perceptor notices a problem with the modifications that Shockwave has made. The modifications are causing Cybertron to move. Perceptor tries to get in touch with Shockwave, but he's told that he's not to be disturbed. Shockwave is telling Starscream and Soundwave that the newly arrived Decepticons need to have an energy transfer module installed. This will let them draw energy from Cybertron itself. And as he describes this process, Perceptor finally makes a connection to the screens around Shockwave. Before Perceptor can really say anything, Shockwave dismisses the two Decepticons. Back on Earth, Magnus leads the Autobots aboard Skylinx. Blitzwing tries to rough up Prime again, and he's not having any of it. However, Magnus lays a hand on Optimus's shoulder to let him know that he wouldn't let any harm to come to Prime or the Autobots. And to that, Optimus punches Magnus in the jaw and calls him a traitor. Led into the cell with the other Autobots, Prime is elated to see Prowl and Hound are unharmed, but then he notices the Trailbreaker is missing. Prowl notes that he's in the CR chamber getting repairs. As for Mirage, Cliffjumper adds that he should ask the traitor himself. Prowl explains, and Magnus, and he also says that Magnus seems to be on their side, but he didn't know how the Autobots would react. The people on Cybertron still think that they'd want to fight, and they don't want any part of that. So the Autobots are stuck in the cell for the trip. In the Arctic, Grimlock breaks into a hidden cavern that he believes that Megatron didn't know that he knew about. He finds the Decepticon shuttle and the other Dinobots that are being held in stasis. On Cybertron, Shockwave offers his second-in-command role to Soundwave, and he leaves him to consider the offer. When Soundwave is alone, he detects something and Ravage ejects to investigate. He's quickly neutralized, and Starscream sneaks behind Soundwave and tells him to be quiet. As Skylinx nears Cybertron, Shockwave opens a communication to Magnus to let him know that he's changed the terms of their arrangement. The Autobots are to be deactivated once they land to prevent any rebellion, and Magnus is incensed. To be continued. So I thought this was a pretty packed issue. A lot of stuff happened. I'm really still enjoying this issue a lot more than the first series. I think this one, just like we mentioned with the last issue, it's more, the structure is more into what I enjoy in a comic. And we don't really have a lot of action. There's a whole lot of exposition, but it's easy to follow. I really enjoy, getting information about like the energy stuff and the Prime Magnus stuff. I think it's all done really well. On the art side, some of the faces really bug me. Particularly, I think there was like a Magnus face that, this design for Magnus, it's just the actual face part of his head seems really small compared to the rest of his head. And that's always bugged me with the Pat Lee art. But outside of that, I felt like the coloring was done really well. Some of the scenes, like on Cybertron especially, have like a painted look. I really like that. But yeah, I'm really enjoying going back to this series. So Charles, what were your thoughts on this?
I agree with you. I really enjoyed this issue. And I agree, this volume two has been much better for me than volume one. I like that they're going back to Cybertron. So, the action is shifting to there rather than being on Earth. So it's nice to see. And I think Pat Lee took the advantage to kind of display a lot of characters that you didn't see a lot of before this, like the jump starters are there. You've got the toy version of Reflector. I think, at the time, when this was this was a new comic, we hadn't seen these guys getting rendered anywhere outside of the toys. So it was nice to see them get featured in a Transformer story. And this also continues the intrigue with what's happening on Cybertron. Why is Ultra Magnus and Shockwave working together? You get hints that the Autobot and Decepticon war isn't quite as finalized as it seems to be. And this alliance is not really, all it's cracked up to be. You've got hints that there's some cracks there. And then at the end, you see Shockwave is really, once a Decepticon, always a Decepticon. He lets the Decepticons surrender and join, but he wants to terminate all the Autobots. So, that's a red flag there.
Yeah. I mean, much like we discover through other series, Shockwave is behind everything.
Exactly. So, I think the art was, I didn't have any really big problems with the art. I thought the art was well done. I thought the story was engaging and well done, and the action scenes were good. I mean, I liked Ultra Magnus slamming Blitzwing into the ground. I liked Optimus Prime's little outburst when he fights back. This is a more, I'd say, dynamic Prime than we're used to. He's not just gonna sit back and be stoic. He's got some emotions that he's letting fly with the situation. So I like that.
Epic. What did you think of this?
Yeah. So not having read these before and stuff, I really love this story and where it's going and stuff. Cause you wonder like, well, is Cybertron like actually united and stuff? And if that's the case, then let's all stop fighting. But then, as you go along in the issue and you're finding that not all is as it seems, with like the brainwashing or things like that, right? It's really neat. It's a really neat concept, an idea for the storyline. And I was really intrigued and wanted to keep reading. I really love the Grimlock bit and like the hinting at Dinobots to come in like the future issues and stuff, what they're going to end up doing or whatever. But overall, I really love this story. It held my attention the whole time as I was reading. I like couldn't wait to get to the next bit and find out what new information to find out. I liked, that they're like in Skylinks and stuff. I thought that was really fun. And then the art, as always with these comics, I really, really enjoyed the art style of this one for sure. I thought it was done really well, and I like the coloring and all that stuff. So yeah, no, I really enjoyed it and thought it was well done.
Cool. And Daryl, I'll finish up with you.
Yeah, I agree. It was another really good book. The art, I seem to have issues with it last episode or last time we recorded, but this episode I thought it was pretty good. You know, I there were no faces that really bugged me, I don't think. They still held over the damage on Shockwave, which I thought was good. Like, that's a continuation from the last episode or issue. Ultra Magnus seems to point a lot, but there's nothing that really bothered me too much about that. For the first half of the book, I thought, you know what? It seems like everything's on the up and up here, that both sides have kind of solved the war and it's all over. And, you know, Magnus seems to be just trying to calm everybody down and everything seems to be working. Like, just go with them. And, you know, the Autobots can kind of, you know, sort this all out on Cybertron when they get there. But the war on Earth is over. Like, let's, you know, get off Earth and stop destroying the place and you get out of there. But mm-hmm. Like you said, once you get there, you realize that, you know, he's going to fuck you up. And,
yeah,
you know,
seems like, you know, the Autobots would be the ones who, like, if we're not fighting, then of course we're not going to fight. But
exactly.
Yeah. And then, yeah, just the betrayal at the end to Ultra mm-hmm. Magnus, I thought was just great.
Yeah. And I'm understanding, like, all the Autobots got on the ship and left, except Grimlock, who went and found his compatriots, right?
Well, and there were 7 Autobot cars that went to Portland, Jazz and some more.
Yep.
Right, okay. They're now stranded on Earth, I'm assuming. So,
yeah, well, I mean, the base is still there, but yeah.
Yeah, it's been so long since I read this that I honestly don't remember the rest of the story. So, you know, this will be like reading it for the first time. But yeah, I thought the art was decent. It was nice to see the jump starters again. I thought it was kind of funny that, you know, Perceptor came up to the jump starters and says, "I need to see Shockwave." And the jump starters were like, "Well, what do you really need to see him for?" And, you know, started to berate the guy about, like, why? You tell us why and explain it, like, so we can understand. And I'm like, yeah. I was like, fuck you. Let me through. I don't have time to explain it to you.
Yeah.
Planet's moving.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, the other thing I really thought was, I don't know if moving's the right word, but like when Optimus Prime, you know, throws off his Autobot symbol to be like, well, fine. If we're all Cybertronians, then we're all Cybertronians. There's no Autobot or Decepticon then. We mm-hmm. should need our own logos. I thought that was
mm-hmm.
cool. Yeah.
Yeah, but and you notice he pulled off one, but he has the logo on both shoulders.
Yes. Yeah, he does. Yeah.
All right, he's half committed to being a Cybertronian.
Yeah. Right.
Not an Autobot.
Yeah. So before we finish, we do have Yoshi's thoughts, so let's hear Yoshi's opinions on this issue.
We got 2 covers with this issue, boys, and I can't pick a favorite because the art's connecting. I gotta go with both of them. They're both my favorite since they're my only option, and it would be a sin to separate them. So, gotta go with both covers. I'm gonna be pulling a double Shelton here. Also, I don't know if this has been going on in the it must have been going on in the previous issues, but this issue number 2, it is sticking out like a sore thumb. Including on the covers, but it looks like the colorists, what were their names? Espen and Alan. It's like they just discovered textures and they are full force and present on the cover and every page of this issue to an annoying degree. And if you can see past the textures, the backgrounds on almost every single panel are gorgeous. I really love the backgrounds in here. I love the backgrounds more than I love the character art. I did not like the way sound effects were applied to the pages. It just seemed like really basic Photoshopping to me, as opposed to making it part of the art. Whoever did the lettering or did the sound effects is not a Tom Belong, and it shows. Page 2, we get the return of Robert Stack and his Elliot Ness voice, which is exactly what I heard when I read Ultra Magnus. And I feel like Ultra Magnus was pretty well spot on nailed to the vision of him I have in my head. ever the Boy Scout from page one to the end of the book. Really cool. I'm sure you guys are gonna talk about the exact storyline, so I don't need to spend so much time on this. Other than this book breaks all my rules, and I still like it, and I'm looking forward to the next one. It's not a one and done story. It's a story that just did some world building, did some character development, and I want more. It's definitely looking forward to issue three next week is what I'm getting at. And I said beautiful backgrounds. Though when Elliot Ness entered the page, he's suffering from tiny head syndrome. I mean, I get the angle, but it's comically small to me. I don't know if you guys are going to point that out, but it's just really small to me. We've got Starscream being Starscream and being punished for being so, which is nice. If anything, that's also Starscream, it's him being a dick and then him getting punished for it. So they've completed that circle in this issue, and I'm sure it'll continue in future issues. And we have an ending with the reveal of the Dinobots, which, man, I totally get the whole the boys are back in town vibe they were shooting for. And I know that they were trying to make the reader feel that. I just didn't feel like that impressed by it. And I hope maybe it was just had something to do with the cadence in which I was reading this issue. I did get interrupted a lot while I was reading it. Maybe it was, maybe it is bad writing. I don't know. I mean, I get what they're going for. I just didn't get that feeling. The thing that intrigued me more, and I'm looking forward to hearing this review, guys, is Mirage, and Mirage being a traitor. This is, did I miss something? He's being a double agent or is caught as a double agent? What am I missing? This is what I'm hoping to find out from in listening to the review. Maybe I don't know if I'm going to be able to wait that long, honestly. I'll probably have to reread this and see if I can figure out where I screwed up. But yeah, that is a depressing look at him on page 16, just kind of in the corner sulking. So I'm real curious about what's going on there. But yes, I felt like this was a good issue, broke all my rules, still liked it. God, I hope they tone down the fucking textures in the next one, though. It's like watching HBO through static when your parents didn't pay for it in the 80s. That's what looking at this issue reminds me of. So hopefully they'll calm down with the static filter or whatever the fuck they used in the next issue. That's all I got for this time. I'll catch you guys next week.
Hey, I didn't really point out the Mirage stuff, but yeah, he was kind of sold out the Autobots at the end of the last issue. So that's why I guess the other Autobots are calling him a traitor in this one. I didn't, just much like every other book, I never noticed the textures. But now he pointed out the static stuff, I can kind of see it on some of the pages. Anyway, those are great thoughts, Yoshi. And looking forward to the next issue. Next week, we don't know if we're going to have a new issue or not, but we'll see. So that's our comic this week.
All right, and let's move on to Transformers Media News.
All right, so we've got a new Transformer t-shirt that's being sold through Tokyo Direct. It's a Transformers exclusive shirt. It's got Bumblebee on it. There's a Beast Wars Megatron on one. Optimus Prime on one. So three different shirts. Yeah, I think I like the Beast Wars Megatron one the best. It looks pretty cool.
They're sold through Hasbro Pulse.
Oh.
The artists are from Tokyo Direct.
And these are all Japanese artists who were given their own spin on Transformers characters, their favorite Transformers characters.
Oh, okay. Cool. Well, there you go. We've got Michael Lombardo to handle Transformers TV content. And this is just businessy business news. But we talked about Hasbro setting up their E1 division, which they bought a year or two ago. And they are now designating a single person, this Michael Lombardo, to head up the Transformers TV content. So that he will also... the Power Rangers and Dungeons and Dragons under that heading as well. we've got a little bit of Beast Wars news, and that's CBR did an article where they said, what happened to the Beast Wars sequels America never got? And they ran down through all the Beast Wars sequels, talked about all the Japanese shows that were exclusive to Japan. On to video game news. We got a trailer this week for a brand new Transformers video game. It's called Battlegrounds, and you can watch the video if you already haven't. It made the rounds. It's going to be coming out on just October the 23rd of this year. It's for PS4, and it looks okay. It looks like it's taking all of its like models from Cyberverse, so it's got a kid feel to it, but it looks kind of fun. Yeah, it's not Devastation. Actually, it's going to be on all the platforms, PC, Xbox One, and Switch, as well as PS4. I don't know why it only says PS4 on the trailer, but that's what they have. Anyway, it does look like it has a little bit more of a kid feel to it. Yeah, I don't know. It looks neat. You can't really tell a lot about it from the trailer. It's really just an overview, but there are a couple stills from the game that'll give you a little bit better look. Charles, you getting this? And which platform would you get it for?
I still don't know what kind of game it is. Like, is it a strategy game? Is it an action game? I need to understand more what this game is. Like, it looks kind of like a mobile game like Transformers Earth Wars. And if it's something like that, I'm probably not interested in. If it's more like, I'm just wondering if it what kind of game it is. But I would probably get it on Switch if I had to pick, just because I like having the ability to play it mobily, you know, with a, mm-hmm. if I'm taking it while somewhere or play it at home. Yeah, yeah, while I'm driving, yeah. Don't be on the road while I'm on the road. Yeah, so I need more information. Like, this is the first we've heard of this game, so I'd like to understand what it is. I mean, I'm surprised it's coming out that quickly, you know, now we get this first reveal.
Sure. Jeremy, could this be your son's first Transformers game?
No. I don't think I would subject him to this, especially if I haven't played it. It looks very much like a mobile game, and I need to know more. I don't know. I'll probably get it for the PC. We did see, we had an announcement with a still back in February in the before times, but I don't know. It's just the gameplay that we see in this video is just very basic, and mm-hmm. I'm not sure exactly. Like, I could see it fitting the Switch very well, fitting phones very well, but consoles and PC, I don't know. We need to know more about like the fighting style, the, you know, controls and stuff.
Right on. And Epic, would you give this one a shot?
Not to sound like a broken record, but I also don't know that much about it. Like, I'd have to see. But for me personally, I don't know that I love the art style that much, which playing video games, part of that is what draws me to them, is like the style and everything. And I don't know that I really actually love how this looks. Mm-hmm. It's not like bad or anything. It's just, it is a bit more on that cartoony side.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really draw me in to make me really want to know more. Like they were saying, I can see it does have like that mobile-ish look to it and stuff, but even then, yeah, I don't think so. But I hadn't actually really heard of it, so I'll still check it out and look at it. But yeah, just from the art style alone, it doesn't really call to me.
Right on. Well, I kind of agree with everybody. I'm not super thrilled about this. It's not getting me excited about anything. And looking at the trailer, looking at these stills and everything that they've got coming out about it, I'm not excited. But who knows? It might be, you know, the next best thing. From what I've been able to see, it doesn't really look like it. The last thing we've got in Cyberverse news is the same thing we talk about every damn week. The next episode of Cyberverse is dropping on Hasbro's YouTube channel. episode 12 will be available for all of the Americans that watch it there. And that's it for media news.
All right, let's finish up the show with convention news.
We mentioned this in the toy show, but it's applicable here too. San Diego Comic-Con is going to be Comic-Con at Home, July 22nd through 26th. And they will be streaming panels, and we'll have more information between now and July. But, you know, I'm looking forward to, you know, finding out what, you know, IDW, Netflix, this game, you know, we have lots of, suddenly we have lots of media stuff that could potentially be announced at the show. So looking forward to it. In addition to that, TF Nation has announced a couple more guests for their big broadcast of 2020. They have announced Stan Bush. This is a guy that you might have heard of. He does some music stuff. He's got the touch, you could say. Also, May Cat, who they say here the voice of Transformers Cyberverse Bumblebee. Oh, that is wrong. The DFW, you got the story wrong. That's not May Cat. That is Jeremy Levy. He is the voice of Transformers Cyberverse Bumblebee and is going to be at TF Nation. May Cat was announced previously along with Buzz Dixon. I don't know if we talked about those announcements either, but yeah, Buzz Dixon, May Cat, Sam Bush, Jeremy Levy, Peter Spellos, Paul Eiding, they're getting, and Townsend Coleman. So they're getting a lot of people for this this big broadcast of 2020. So looking forward to it. And that is convention news.
All right. Yeah, I did. We did mention Buzz Dixon and May Cat last week. I do remember that. So
that,
yeah.
So a lot of time has passed in the last week.
Feels like 20 Mondays have passed. Yeah. All right. Well, that will do it for this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode. Epic, why don't you tell everyone where they can find your stuff online?
You can head on over to epicsuicide.com. That's epyksuicide.com. And there you will find all of my social links.
All right. And we will link that in our show notes as well. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Later.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/Discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions Podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
We're so good. We're so good.
Almost like we're professionals.
Mm-hmm.